Survival Kit by Frederick Pohl. It wasn't fair. A smart but luckless man like Mooney had to scrounge, while Harse always made out just because he had a survival kit. Chapter 1. Mooney looked out of his window and the sky was white. It was a sudden, bright, cold flare, and it was gone again. It had no more features than a fog, at least not through the window that was showered with snow and patterned with spray from the windy sea. Mooney blew in his hands and frowned at the window. "Son of a gun," he said, and thought for a moment about phoning the Coast Guard station. Of course, that meant going out a quarter of a mile in the storm to reach the only other house nearby that was occupied. The Hansons had a phone that worked, but a quarter of a mile was a long way in the face of a December gale, and it was all dark out there now. Less than 20 miles across the bay was New York, but this Jersey Shore coast was harsh as the face of the moon. Mooney decided it was none of his business. He shook the kettle, holding it with an old dish towel because it was sizzling hot. It was nearly empty, so he filled it again and put it back on the stove. He had all 4 top burners in the oven going, which made the kitchen tolerably warm, as long as he wore the scarf and the heavy quilted jacket and kept his hands in his pockets, and there was plenty of tea. Uncle Lester had left that much behind him, plenty of tea. Nearly a dozen boxes of assorted cookies and a few odds and ends of canned goods and God's own quantity of sugar. It wasn't exactly a balanced diet, but Mooney had lived on it for 3 weeks now, smoked turkey sausages for breakfast, and oatmeal cookies for lunch, and canned black olives for dinner, and always plenty of tea. The wind screamed at him as he poured the dregs of his last cup of tea into the sink and spooned sugar into the cup for the next one. It was, he calculated, close to midnight. If the damn wind hadn't blown down the TV antenna, he could be watching the late movies now. It helped pass the time. The last movie was off the air at 2 or 3 o'clock, and then he could go to bed and, with any luck, sleep till past noon. And Uncle Lester had left a couple of decks of sticky, child-handled cards behind him, too, when the family went back to the city at the end of the summer. So what with 4 kinds of solitaire and solo bridge and television and a few more naps, Mooney could get through to the next 2 or 3 a.m. again, if only the wind hadn't blown down the antenna. But as it was, all he could get on the cheap little set his uncle had left behind was a faint gray herringbone pattern. He straightened up with the kettle in his hand, listening. It was almost as though somebody was knocking at the door. "That's crazy," Mooney said out loud after a moment. He poured the water over the tea bag, tearing a little corner off the paper tag on the end of the string to mark the fact that this was the 2nd cup he had made with the bag. He had found he could get 3 cups out of a single bag, but even loaded with sugar, the 4th cup was no longer very good. Still, he had carefully saved all the used, dried-out bags against the difficult future day when even the tea would be gone. That was going to be one bad day for Howard Mooney. Rap. Tap. It really was someone at the door. Not knocking exactly, but either kicking at it or striking it with a stick. Mooney pulled his jacket tight around him and walked out into the frigid living room, not quite so frigid as his heart. "Damn," he said. "Damn, damn." What Mooney knew for sure was that nothing good could be coming in that door for him. It might be a policeman from Seabright, wondering about the light in the house. It might be a member of his uncle's family. It was even possible that one of the stockholders who had put up the money for that unfortunate venture into frozen food club management had tracked him down as far as the Jersey Shore. It could be almost anything or anybody, but it couldn't be good. All the same, Mooney hadn't expected it to turn out to be a tall, lean man with angry, pale eyes, wearing a silvery sort of leotard. "I come in," said the angry man, and did. Mooney slammed the door behind him. Too bad, but he couldn't keep it open, even if he was conceding a sort of moral right to enter to the stranger. He couldn't have all that cold air coming in to dilute his little bubble of warmth. "What the devil do you want?" Mooney demanded. The angry man looked at him with an expression of revulsion. He pointed to the kitchen. "Is warmer in there?" "I suppose so. What do?" But the stranger was already walking into the kitchen. Mooney scowled and started to follow, and stopped and scowled even more. The stranger was leaving footprints behind him, or anyway some kind of rug marks that showed black on the faded summer rug. True, he was speckled with snow, but that much snow? The man was drenched. It looked as though he had just come out of the ocean. The stranger stood by the stove and glanced at Mooney warily. Mooney stood 6 feet, but this man was bigger. The silvery sort of thing he had on covered his legs as far as the feet, and he wore no shoes.